Good evening to you. My name's Tim and I'm the Minister here. It's very good to add my welcome to you all to Tim's from earlier on. I also happen to be Caleb's dad who shared his story just a moment ago. This is a fantastic moment. Carols by candlelight is always a highlight, I think, in our church's life. It's certainly a highlight in my own life, and I absolutely love this moment. It is a very, very good moment indeed. We are so grateful, and we do want to thank everyone who has made tonight's Carols by Candlelight the special occasion that it is. For those that were involved with the welcome on the door and providing hospitality, for those who've made the mood what it is and set the decorations in place, the lighting, the music, the atmosphere, the lyrics, the readings, they are all absolutely wonderful. Moments like this are a moment of relief in a world which can often be very miserable. Sorry to remind you of that now. There is often a miserable world and a miserable existence that we experience in our day-to-day lives. Difficult and nasty people exist. Traumatic events happen. Troubling circumstances and uncertainty about the future really crashes in on our hearts. We often realize in the world and in our lives that the situations that we face are often well beyond our control. There is suffering and there is loss. And then there is our own personal failure, which can sometimes be utterly devastating for ourselves and for others. And all that adds up often to a sense of deep misery, anxiety, fear, hopelessness, despair, and even giving up on God. I wonder if you've ever got to that place of being tempted to give up on God. Maybe you know friends and folks in your family who have given up on God. One of the most famous Christmas verses in the Bible is it is a promise to somebody who had experienced life miseries to the point that he had given up on God. His name was Ahaz, and he was a king who lived more than 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. And although he lived over basically 2,700 years ago, millions of people in the world today, and maybe you are one of them, can relate to Asaph's experience of life. On the screen, you will see that very famous Christmas verse. It is what the prophet Isaiah told Ahaz on God's behalf. Isaiah was a prophet and he spoke on God's behalf. And this is what he said to Ahaz. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel. So it's a fantastic promise. And it came up again in our reading that Esther read for us not long ago. But there's one more thing that I need to tell you about Ahaz. Ahaz was very clear that he did not want to hear what Isaiah had to say on God's behalf. He had given up on God that much. He wasn't interested at all in what God had to say. He was not interested in God's promise, and he didn't want to hear about God's sign. He had given up on God. And so it is a wonderful promise, because Ahaz and this promise place us all on side. Wherever we are, if we are those with just a little bit of faith, here's a promise for us. For those with no faith at all, here is a promise which was specifically first told to somebody just like you. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel. The kind of God that God is this. He basically said to Ahaz through Isaiah, I'm going to tell you the promise anyway, and I'm going to give you the sign anyway. A baby will be born in very special circumstances, and the result will be Emmanuel, which means God with us, or more literally, with us, God. Ahaz, I am with you. Ahaz, I am the with you God. That's the kind of God I am. Now, over 700 years later, after Ahaz, as we heard in our reading from Matthew chapter 1 that Esther read for us, this very same promise comes back again. Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. Mary fell pregnant, and Joseph, being a good and godly man, and knowing that it wasn't his baby, chose to cancel the marriage without shaming Mary, if that was possible. That was his aim. But an angel appeared to Joseph and told him that Mary was still a virgin, and her baby was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then our famous Christmas verse is quoted to explain exactly what was happening. This took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz 700 years before. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The birth of Jesus Christ is the moment of Emmanuel, God with us. God came into the world in that baby Jesus, born and laid in a manger. Emmanuel, God with us, or better, with us, God. That is a great theme throughout the whole Bible. Emmanuel, God with us. The promise of God to be with his people is repeated again and again and again. Let me remind you of just a few. When Moses was called to lead God's people out of slavery in Egypt, Moses said, I can't do it. The job is just too big for me. I'm not that kind of guy. It's too important for me. I'm too pathetic and weak. I can't even speak. And God told him, I will be with you. I am, Moses, the with you God. Well, years later, time went by and Moses grew into those very big shoes. And after a while, he began to fit them. So it was very understandable that his successor, Joshua, felt very anxious and fearful when Moses had died. And he had to step into those very, very big shoes. But God told Joshua, I will be with you. I am the with you God, Joshua. And then perhaps you know this one, the most famous psalm in the Bible, the Lord's my shepherd, Psalm 23, has got this little phrase in it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are the with me God. The God of the Bible is a with us God, Emmanuel. It is so amazing to discover that when God came to earth, you see, all those promises, I will be with you, I am the with you God, were never a name in the Old Testament. But we come to the New Testament and God owns it as his name and reveals it to us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, his personal name. And it isn't not astonishing to find that we are in the name of God that he reveals with us, with you, God. Isn't that shocking and stunning and wonderful? It should feed our hearts with a real deep sense of peace and contentment and absolute security. Here's a 116th century writer found even more amazing about the word Emmanuel, the name. And he wrote this rather eloquently and rather poetically. He basically said he was astonished to find that we are in the name of God, but astonishingly, God chose in his very name to put us before him in his name. Emmanuel, God with us, God, literally. And that 16th century writer was just astonished. And then goes on to say, well, that's just the kind of God he is. Always, always putting other people first. That is the way the God of the Bible is, in a remarkable mixture of love and humility, leaving the safe glory of heaven to come into a broken and dangerous world, leaving the comfort of his own home in Nazareth to minister to and make friends with outcasts and thieves and sex workers and other spiritually unclean people, leaving his place at the dinner table to serve by washing his friend's feet. I was talking to a dear friend the other day, and he said, when he reads the New Testament and he thinks about many, many churches that he knows, he finds it rather surprising and almost tempted to perhaps one day write the book that is titled, Why You Wouldn't Want Jesus as Your Pastor. It's a very long title. Because of the people he'll bring into your church. People like Zacchaeus, Matthew, Mary Magdalene. Jesus put them first. Emmanuel, the with us God. What a wonderful God he is. Leaving the dinner table to dress himself as the servant in servant's clothes to wash his friend's feet. Leaving the stories and the joyful memories and the celebrations and no doubt the candles and the wine and that beautiful moment of the Passover meal and going to that place where he knew his betrayer would meet him and send him to a terrible, terrible, shameful execution as a criminal on a cross in cold isolation, all on his own. My God, why have you forsaken me? Always putting others first. The with us God. What a wonderful name, Emmanuel. I want to end by just pointing out two things about God's name. Two more things. God's name, Emmanuel, is both a promise and a prayer. Let's come back to the misery of life, its difficulties. Nasty people come into our lives, sometimes without being invited. And sometimes it's very hard to see them move on or for us to move on and to escape them. We experience traumatic events, suffering and loss and troubling circumstances. Uncertainties arise about our future and underline the unavoidable fact that our life situations are a long way outside of our control. And sometimes when we realize this is true, we realize this as well. We find it difficult to live God's ways like Ahaz did. If you want to read his story, he completely gave up on God and started trying to organize things in a rebellious way against God. And sometimes we do that. We find it hard to live God's ways. We fall into temptation and we end up making some terrible mistakes that we just can't fix. And sometimes other people don't ever want to forgive us for. These things lead us to misery and anxiety and fear and hopelessness and guilt and shame and despair. But Christmas is a time to remember and trust God's promise, his name, Emmanuel, the with us God. I am with you. Would you take that personally this evening? Emmanuel, God is with you. Would you believe that? Trust him to be in your life, whatever the difficulties you are facing. And if you're in a moment of great joy and things are going well, will you trust it too and know that he makes it even better? What a wonderful promise to trust, Emmanuel. But also a prayer. I wonder if you've ever thought about praying God's name, Emmanuel, O Emmanuel, with us, God, please be with, well, who comes to your mind? Who can you be praying the name of God for this Christmas time? Maybe it's someone else in our church family. Maybe it's one of our mission partners. Emmanuel, please, Lord, be with them. Be with him, be with her. Maybe someone in your own family or a neighbor or a colleague. Or maybe it is a part of the world. Emmanuel. Oh, Lord God, would you not be Emmanuel in Ukraine? Would you not be Emmanuel to folks who are suffering for following you in Iran? Lord, would you not be Emmanuel to people in northern Nigeria? Emmanuel, may that be true for you, and may that be the promise you trust, and may it be the prayer that each of us pray this Christmas time. God with us. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which means with us, God. Let's spend a moment of quiet, shall we? And would you just pray quietly? God is with us now. He's with us. He's present by his Holy Spirit. In a moment of quiet, would you pray that the Holy Spirit would settle the truth of God's name in your heart in the way that is most appropriate for you and for your loved ones this Christmas?